Good morning. How are you guys doing? You can be seated. Super happy to be here this morning, aren't you guys? Man, it's awesome living for God, isn't it? Let's go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I want to deal with a few things this morning. Now, there's a lot of things that Paul has addressed here in the church of the Ephesians. Okay? This is one of the churches that Paul, many churches Paul, established, right? These were his children. This was his work in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the things that I'm going to be addressing this morning, I want to deal with it in the apostle. I want to deal with it in the apostolic. You'll understand that as we go through some of these things that we're going to be talking about this morning. What do I mean when I talk about dealing with it in the apostle? Well, let me give you a quick little breakdown here. Paul, more than any other apostle, Peter, I think, addressed himself as an apostle twice in both of his epistles. John doesn't specifically do that. He refers to himself simply as the elder in his writings. Though an apostle, no doubt about it. Guy wrote the book of Revelation by the word of the Lord. But Paul, in 9 different occurrences, starts off his epistle identifying the fact that he was an apostle by the will of God, called of God, sanctioned and anointed and sent by God, okay? 9 different times. And Ephesians is no different. He starts out by talking concerning the fact or truth that he was an apostle by the will of God, sent to the saints. Why is that important? You're going to understand more as we go. This has been taught before, but as we identify some things, I want this to be the context of thought. Why? Because you are tied to apostolic. I know I've said this more than once. There's a reason why you need to walk in that mindset. And when we read some of these things here this morning, you're going to know, if you have an ear to hear, that you are not alone. If you ever think, even for a moment, that you're going to get this by yourself, I'm not saying that there's not some times where you are by yourself. Moses was on the backside of a desert when he saw that burning bush in the hills. And he eventually saw the angel of the Lord. And when he approached that place, what did the angel of the Lord tell him? Remove your shoes from off your feet, for the place wherein you stand is holy ground. And that's where he got the word of the Lord to go to Egypt and set his people free. He said, God, who am I going to say sent me? Let's start with, who are you? What did God say, Megan?
I am what I am.
I am. You tell him I am. So this, of course, as we just preached last Monday, concerning faith, concerning the gospel, concerning the anointing, the sin, all of it. Where did it come from? God. You say, well, I thought it came from Jesus. Who do you think Jesus is? Jesus is God. I know, man, that is potent preaching when you say things like that. You might have conflict if you brought that message to certain aspects of this world. But I'm telling you, concerning heaven, concerning earth, concerning this gospel, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is God. He's the express image of his person, is he not? So everything that we have has come from who? God. God has made himself manifest in the person and image of Jesus Christ, his son. So when Paul says, by the will of God, Tim, he's telling you the kind of power that has backed his apostleship. There's a reason why that's important. He says in chapter 6 of verse 10. Do I got you today, Katie? Awesome. So, finally, my brethren, who was he talking to again? The saints. He's talking to the saints, beginning in chapter 1, an apostle by the will of God unto the saints. Now he's dealing with them as brothers. You guys remember those aspects of the soul, right? There's a lot going on in these worlds. There's a lot going on in the kingdom of God. We have a lot of things that are happening right now. It's very, very active. It has been for quite some time. We cannot get distracted by the mundane. We must stay fervent in what God's called us to do. And we're doing that. I believe that with all my heart. We're doing it. We're being obedient. Because I'm going to tell you, when we talk about faith, Tim, what do you think drives the power of faith? Obedience. Obedience drives the power of faith. And I preached Monday night that faith also works by love. So we got a lot of things going on. We got faith, we got love, we got obedience. We've got all kinds of wonderful teachings and instructions. So our foundation is sure, is it not? Peter said, we have now a more sure word of prophecy. What does that imply? What does it tell you? That there was once upon a time that our word of prophecy was not so sure? You mean there was some doubt, some unbelief, etc.? Yeah, but Peter was testifying, now it is grounded. It has been established. That's how I feel when I stand up here this morning in this church of Chicago. We have a grounded, established, apostolic word. You say that's important? You better believe it is, and you're about to find out why. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Why didn't he say, be strong in Paul? Because it didn't come from Paul. It came from God, who therefore gave it to Paul by Jesus Christ. Paul later said, follow me as I follow Christ, and even referred to himself to the people, you entreated me, even as Jesus Christ himself, because of the gospel that has been delivered unto me. He wasn't saying, I am Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's not what Paul was saying. That's not what we're saying. But he was telling them, I have come in the spirit of Jesus Christ because that spirit has been imparted unto me. That's very important. If we're not walking in the spirit of Jesus Christ, don't follow us. Right? Right, Keith? You don't want to follow men that are not following in the spirit of Jesus Christ. Everything these apostles taught and preached was what? Jesus Christ. They preached the death, burial, and resurrection. Guys, that wasn't just a little piece of their gospel. That was their gospel. Everything we preach to you is concerning the death, the burial, and resurrection. I wonder if you were to give your thoughts to the Lord this morning, to the Spirit of the Lord, and ask this question, where am I at in that? Am I in the death, Lord? Am I in the burial? Am I in the resurrection? Remember those feast days we talked about? The first three deal with those three things. The death, the burial, the resurrection. The first one was the Passover. That's your death. The second one was the festival of leavened bread. That's your burial. The third one was the first fruits. That's your resurrection. Who was the first fruits in God? Jesus. Now, Paul, an apostle of God, is now one of the fruits that have come from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guess what? We have men among us even here that have now become partakers of the first fruits. In other words, we're partakers with Jesus Christ. That means we got some folks walking in a resurrection. Now, when you talk about faith, you can't talk about faith without talking, Nancy, about resurrection. Are we walking in a resurrection, Tim? Are you remembering some things? Then the aspect of resurrection is already at play. You see how that works? Here's what takes place, though, when we talk about being in the Lord. There's this other side to it where these voices rise up sometimes, don't they, Megan? And they try to persuade you, convince you, talk to you, to deny what God is doing. If I can do anything here this morning, I'm going to arm you in how to walk in the midst of all of those lying, deceitful, malicious enemy thoughts so that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt who you are in God. Because if you can't know who you are in God, you're going to struggle. That's why he said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Do you think God sits on his throne questioning day after day who he is, whether he's worthy? Do you think Jesus came into the earth and said, I'm not sure who I am. I don't know if I can pull this off. I'm telling you. And some of you are laughing and bobbing your heads because you're thinking right now about the thoughts this week that have worked you over. But Paul said, you be strong in the Lord. And I just established that Paul, Peter, John, these men of God, who did they preach? The Lord. Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim, God with us. That's what Gabriel said. When the man of God Gabriel, and the scripture calls him that, by the way, when the man of God Gabriel came to Mary, Don, he told Mary, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he's going to save his people from their sins. But then Gabriel does something very interesting. He draws back to a heavenly prophetic word given to Isaiah, and he said he's also going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So you got the entitlement and the power of Almighty God working in this Jesus from both heaven and earth. Why is that important? Because if you don't think God is with you or for you, that he doesn't have you covered from a heavenly perspective, how do you think you're going to make it in the earth? How do you think you're going to make it at the table in the wilderness with enemies surrounding you if the God of heaven sitting on his throne of holiness does not have your back? It's got to be so founded in us. We have got to be persuaded and convinced that who we are in God is exactly who God said we are. And I'm going to tell you right now, men may be liars, but God is not a liar. So, Ann, if God said you're a daughter of Zion, you're a mother in Jerusalem, you're a son of God, I'm going to believe what God said. Are you guys with us? He said, be strong. Boy, if I do this right here, preach line by line, we're going to be here for 3 hours. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What did the scripture say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, who's going to raise up a standard? The Spirit of the Lord. The anointing. There was a prince from Assyria that God spoke to specifically. He said, my anointing will break his yoke from off your neck. That's the kind of power we have in our God. And let me make this personal and intimate. Our God is our Father. He's our Father. See, there's still faults among us. Some of us think that our origins or our beginnings started here when you were physically born. I'm telling you that you're from God from the beginning. That God is the Father of lights. And if you're a light of God, then God is your Father. And that origin started a long time ago. It did not originate, Don Marie, in this physical life. You existed before you came into this avatar. And I hope you outlive me. I'm not kidding about that. But no matter what, When you leave this avatar, you're going to continue to exist because you're of God. Amen?
Amen.
You guys believe that? You should be believing that more than ever before. Okay. He said, in the power of his might, put on the whole armor. How many's walking around here with just the girdle? Or maybe you're not even wearing a girdle. Maybe you're just wearing shoes. That'd be a sight. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the deception, the seduction, the lies. How did he fall, Tim? You think she wanted to go out and commit evil? You think in that beginning, even that cherubim, you think he wanted to go out and be malicious and work whoredoms? Or did something get into him and deceive him? Did something work in the thought in Eve to deceive her? Let me just remind you guys of something. This fall we talk about, I need everybody to pay attention to what I'm about to say. You didn't go out in the beginning to just go do evil and work malicious whoredoms. You were deceived. Now that should do two things. That should quantify why you fell, and it should also tick you off at who? The devil. So we're going to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I want you to pay special attention to what I'm about to read right now. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many's ever stopped right there and had a thought, well, we're not called of God to wrestle. We're never going to wrestle. We're not supposed to wrestle. No, Paul said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But what do we wrestle against? We're going to read it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Dan was talking recently about being entangled. I actually read part of that last Monday night. To not be entangled again unto the yoke of bondage. If you're wrestling with flesh and blood, are you entangled? Now, I'm not a big, you know, fighter. I'm really not a fighter at all in this realm. I don't even really care that much for all these UFC-type fights and stuff. But I was watching a little bit of it last night. Wife and I were having a little bit of fun. And I was sitting there telling my God, I'd be tapping out like in the first 5 seconds, man. Are you kidding me? I mean, the chokes and all, they're entangled. Getting pinned down, I'm like, oh, heck no, man. Don't pin me down where I can't move or breathe or nothing. I'm like, I'm out. I'd be passed out. That's in this flesh, right? I can't even run half a block anymore. It's over. I know that. I'm done. I have literally tapped out. But I'm going to tell you this, you meet me in God. That is not the case. We are not afraid of devils. The devil taps out, Paula said. That's true. Well, he taps out if we are in a sin to work it. Sometimes you go and you try to work some things in some folks, and they don't want you messing with that devil right now. They kind of like him hanging around. So if I ain't got your will, not a whole lot I can do. But I tell you what, you cry out to God, and this ministry has power to cast out devils. We have power to take up serpents. Sometimes you can just look at a devil and cast him out. They don't want nothing to do with sons of God. Not babies of God, sons of God. So he said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. My God, this is some potent stuff that Paul's dealing with here. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not going to go through line by line and deal with all of those aspects. But that very first one is very interesting. Actually, in the Strong's, it actually means beginning. Principalities. What if I told you in that very first church of Ephesus, in the thought of that angelic being, he was dealing with this right here. A prince. A principality was talking to him. What happens, Tim, when we go out? Paul said in Corinthians 6, to go into sin, you have to be without the body. So you had to leave the realm of God to even sin. You had to go out into a place of darkness. What happens when an evil thought presents itself and draws a man out? What happens? Let's put it into this earth. What happens when you get tempted? You make choice, don't you? What kind of choices are you making, guys? You guys remember, I think it was like December of last year, we talked about a dream we had when we were down in Gatlinburg about the covering wings and the jewels that were hidden in the wings. And there was a very evil, malicious entity, Tim, that had seduced some of those young stars out from under the wing. They had to choose to leave. But what got them to leave? If you're entangled with the affairs of this life, something drew you away and you went out. So what's the moral of the story? Somebody tell me. Don't go out. Stay with us. Stay with us. If you go out, you're no longer under the wings. If you go out, could you get seduced and deceived and entangled? What happens when you're in the devil's realm? Does he have some power? I'm gonna clear something up right now. If you think the devil does not have power, you're mistaken. He has power. He just doesn't have more power than God does. In fact, you read Romans 9, God raised him up. He raised up Pharaoh, which had great power, but it was for his glory. See, some of us turn around, though, and we blame the devil for some things. But yet, what did that prodigal son do? What did that prodigal son decide? To go out. He went to his father and asked for his inheritance, and he went out. He took his inheritance and went out. And what did he do, Keith? He joined himself and become a citizen of another country. Joined himself to another man in another country. Did he get entangled? Did he get seduced? And what did he find out, bro? Found out it wasn't everything he thought it was going to be. This is no time for us to let deception and lying spirits talk to us and allure us and seduce us and draw us out. How many times do we have to fall? How many times? Oh, and I can hear it already. We got Bible scholars. Well, you know the word of God says a righteous man will fall seven times. Oh, okay. Tell me about that. Do you think that means because we're under grace that we can just go out and sin and do whatever we want to do, Don, and God's mercy will cover us and you can trust that your pastor won't have a single thought of concern? He'll just come and say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You messed up again. No, no, no. You know what he's going to do? He's going to discern intent. He's going to discern the will. He's going to discern every single thing in your spirit. Why? Because he's not going to know how to work prophecy if he does not go into the weeds of the thing, go into your temple, go into your spirit. However that man of God works that gift, he's going to go into your spirit and he's going to know exactly what got you. And whether you made choice to do so. Because sometimes you can be talking to children and you tell them, don't do it, don't go out. I'm telling you, stay with us. Stay with daddy, man. Come on, stay with the father. Don't leave. Do not go out. This is going to be a mistake. I'm telling you, we can example after example after example of conversations we have had where we have sit at tables, probably more so from Daniel and these guys than myself personally. As pastors, they deal with this kind of stuff all the time. But sit at tables and tell people, don't do it. It's a mistake. I'm telling you, stay with us. Stay in the church. And yet, how many times, Amanda, do you think the war in folks have won the battle and they took a thought, he doesn't really know what he's talking about, and you go out and do it anyway? You ever done that, Tim? So you were disobedient. Yeah, me too, bro. Anybody in here never been disobedient? Oh, come on, raise your hand. I'm kidding. We would never want to confess such a lie. We've all sinned and come short. That's the beauty of the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that God knew this ages ago, put the whole thing in motion, and had the answer before the problem was ever made manifest. Man, that's good. Or God. He said, you've got princes and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. It's so interesting. Jesus, right before he goes to his death, says, now the prince of this world must be cast out. In two different places, he talked about the judgment of this prince and how this prince was now going to have to be cast out. You guys remember Revelation 12, right? We've preached the heck out of that. What was cast out of heaven? The devil and his angels. The great red dragon. So he was cast out of heaven, Megan. But Jesus comes into the earth and we've still got a major problem on our hands. Being this prince, this principality, this ruler. This guy that is what Paul said, the God, little g, of the world. But yet, it's not his world, is it? Well, then tell me something, Megan. How could this enemy offer the glories of the kingdoms of the world to Jesus if it didn't belong to him? Nobody? Nobody want to take a crack at that one? Sure, he's a deceiver, but why could he offer the glories of the kingdoms of this world to the Son of God and the Lord have to tell him, nope, not going to happen. You're going to worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Did Jesus know something some of us don't know? What's the simple answer? Can we make it so simple? This is as simple as it gets. Didn't the earth always belong to the Lord? Isn't he the one that created it? So when Adam was put to sleep and he went into a trance, did God have to create another realm and put him in it because of disobedience and sin? Is that the world we're talking about?
Is that a different kingdom, Gary?
A completely different kingdom, bro. One of darkness. You think the devil took over God's realm? No. Never. Not even for a second. Has God ever lost his status or power in his kingdom? I was in Boise, and man, I'm telling you, Brian was actually there. He was teaching for Pastor Dave. He come up for the weekend, and I'm sitting in the back, and Brian, I don't know, talked for maybe 10 minutes. I go into a vision. I am literally caught up. And I see God's realm in a way I'd never seen it. A heaven and an earth so big. It was a universe, bro. It wasn't just a realm. It was a universe. And it was all one. It was in and how do you describe it? I think in Revelation 4, it talks about the living creatures around the throne and in the throne. How can you be around the throne and in the throne? We're talking spiritual. That's what it was like. The earth was in the heaven was in the earth. Does that make sense? It was in and of itself, one and the same. There was no separation or division between the two. And beautiful beyond words, is that what we have to look forward to? God's realm, God's kingdom. What if I told you that God's realm, God's kingdom has no devils in it, Don? Is that hard to imagine? It is sometimes when you're walking in this life and you got all these thoughts plaguing you. You say, is there ever an end? I asked Rick that one time. I said, Rick, does this war ever come to an end? Why do you think I asked him that question, Megan?
Because you were warring.
I was in war. Make sense, Brad? In war all the time, all the time. And I asked him, I said, I was desperate in the question. I was longing in the question. I said, Rick, does it ever come to an end? He turned around, looked at me with a smile, said, yes, sir, it does. It comes to an end. And it is no more. Now, how could he say that, Tim?
It came to an end in him.
Oh, there you go. So he came to a place where it was no longer war for him. He had overcome. That's a great hope, is it not? Let's keep moving, because I'm going to run out of time. He said, not that we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against all these other things, we may wrestle at times. Have you ever wrestled against a devil? Well, when you go to Revelation 12, it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels. So there was a wrestling, if you will, a war, if you will. It just didn't go down the way a lot of us think. It was fast. So what's the advice I can give you? Don't linger. When a thought presents itself, don't linger. I'm talking about an evil thought. You know what we do? We pull up a chair and invite the devil to fellowship with us. Is that what we do? But Paul said, we have no fellowship. Light and darkness have no fellowship one with the other. We cannot sit at the table of devils and expect a good outcome. Will you get entangled? Will you get seduced? Let me ask you a question. What do you think you have to learn from Satan?
Nothing.
He's a liar. Now, I've had the Lord bring him to the table and make him sit there while the Lord taught me about him. Rick said it like this one time. He said, everything I've ever learned about Satan, I learned it in heaven. Then you're in the earth watching the manifestation of it, and you're discerning it in great measure, and then God ties it all together. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But sometimes we sit at a table, and we think, oh, he's talking to me. I might better pay attention to this. Why? Don, if you were Eve this morning and Satan came your way and started talking to you, what should you do? If you don't know exactly how to handle that serpent, what should you do? Wouldn't you just say, do I need to go get my husband? Do I need to go get, because you got a new Adam, not an old Adam. You got a new Adam. So wouldn't you just say, I need to go get my husband? Hold on. No, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Stay right there. Don't you move. You say, I ain't got that kind of power. Who told you that? Then you go get the Lord. And you let the Lord deal with it, Tim. Why are we lingering in these things? Why are we letting these seductions and these whoremongering thoughts draw us away? You guys remember Proverbs 7, right? The young man. Who was he seduced by? Let me say one last thing on this, and I'm going to move on. This strange woman, you think she was ugly? You think, oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble. You think she was this huge hog beast of an ugly, whorish, satanic-looking demon woman talking to this young man? That'd be easy to say no to, wouldn't it? What was she? Oh, man. You ever seen her? Not yet? How do you know that? If you see this whore, this whorish woman, and God takes that skin off and lets you see exactly what you're entangled with, wow, you're going to get your mind blown, because she is wicked, evil, disgusting, most horrific. And we take no thought, because we're caught up, Steve, in the moment of the seduction. Isn't it time to discern some spirits here, guys? How do we do this? I think we've covered it well, but we're going to deal with something here. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. What did Paul say? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So is every one of these the Lord Jesus, Marty? Is that what we're about to read? I've preached this before. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Wait a minute. Having done all to stand. Do we give up too easily? Do we let our countenance fall because we go through a little skirmish, a little battle? How many times, who was it, Gideon brought, I think it was like 12,000? You Bible scholars, help me out. The Lord said, too many. He said, what was it, like 3,000, 6,000? Somebody, send them home. Send them home. Don't need them. Wait, what? Have you seen their army? It's like that little boy with the prophet, the little servant boy. Prophet's like, open his eyes, let him see what I see, Lord. And then he sees the whole heaven, man, surrounding him, chariots of fire, angels of God. There be more for us, with us, than there is against us. That's how we walk. If you've ever seen the army of the Lord, you would not fear the way you do. Revelation 20, Revelation going into 21, that army of the Lord brings with him, sorry about that, biggest thing I've ever seen, man. And no joke, the power that came with that army, the Lord as the head of it, we have nothing to fear. Finally got down to 300, and God gave them the victory with 300 soldiers against an entire army. Who's in charge here? Who's got the real power? Now, don't just tell me that. I want to know in you, who's got the power? Every time I talk about that, I think about that Jim Carrey movie where he's given the power of God for like 1 week for six blocks. And he's walking around. I got the power. Yeah, he does all kinds of selfish things. Yeah, it's actually a funny movie. Anyway, he says, you take up this whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Withstand, not just stand, but withstand. That tells me there's attacks sometimes that come. Are you hearing me? Peter said it like this: we got a devil, a Satan, that walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Is he looking for you this week? Did he find you? What'd you do about it? You think elders of God don't ever have to deal with Satan anymore? Even if Satan's been purged out of that man of God, he still has to deal with Satan, I promise you. Paul was going to go to Macedonia, but Satan withstood him. Paul was shipwrecked, or right before the shipwreck, stood on the boat, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Have no fear. God is with you. God's going to get you where he is sending you." That's how those guys live, man. They lived on the edge all the time of suffering and tribulation and trial and prison and beatings and the depths, all of those things. They withstood it for one simple reason. They clothed themselves in Jesus Christ. Am I making the point? He said, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Notice that's number one, numero uno, man. You ain't doing this without truth. So gird up your loins with truth. You know, it's a real simple little side note on girding up the loins. What does that imply? Reproduction? What if we're not walking in truth? What if we're walking in lies? What if our loins are full of lies? Are we passing generational curses? Is that what we're propagating? Is that what we're reproducing? I was in a dream a few months ago. I went into my grandfather's world. This was a crazy dream, man. He had a throne in this world. He had seduced woman, girl, child after one, after another, after another. And this was his parable, by the way, in this physical life. Wicked man. Called himself a preacher. Couldn't be told anything. And it was in his thought and mind to pass that power to every firstborn in his generation. God was showing me what had been passed to me in a curse and what he saved me from. That's what he was showing me. But I was blown away at how wicked and evil his realm was. His world was so evil. He's been long dead. How can you go into his world and visit that? Don, how does that happen? It was quick, too. I was in and out. Only there for a moment of time. That's how dark and wicked and evil that world was. Those are the generational curses I'm talking about that have been passed down through the generations. Only God saves us from these things. He said, having the breastplate of righteousness. I saw the finger of the Lord one time write in a breastplate over the angel of God. Wrote true and faithful witness by fire. His finger was fire. And I knew, oh my gosh, that's what this whole thing is going to become. It's going to become a faithful and true witness before God's done. See, that breastplate of righteousness, Tim, it girds you. It guards the heart. Can't get entangled with the affairs of life if your heart is guarded with the breastplate, bro. Y'all hearing me? You got to put on the whole armor. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see them centurions, man, they got them boots on and they got the shins. They come all the way up. So when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and you got serpents all around and they're biting at you, they ain't getting through those shoes, man. They ain't getting through that armor. You say, my God, man, I don't want nothing to do with that. Well, you ain't going to work a sin to God then. Because I'm going to tell you, there's one thing being in the valley of the shadow of death, having a need for salvation, and then another to be sent to it to work that salvation. You say, you've been in the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, I have, and God took me through it. Dan's done the same. Keith's done the same. God's done that in us. But what if I tell you now, he can send us into your valley. into the valley of the shadow of death in you. And we could be that ministering spirit that takes you by the hand and guides you through. Is that what we're doing? Is that why we started with this is apostolic? Am I telling you you're part of us? Am I telling you you're part of that apostle back there? Am I telling you that where this is working is in that apostleship? So what do you have to fear? Who's got the whole armor of God this morning? We're not going to be too much longer. He said, above all. Listen to this. What have we been preaching on? What's Dan been preaching on? What's Tim been talking about? What's going on here? Faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. Why would Paul say above all? My God, must be important. What's it for? You shall be able to quench. What's that word quench, man? Extinguish, my God. Suppress, stifle a divine influence. You say divine? Yeah, spiritual. You remember Israel? They were surrounded with other gods. How many times did those other gods influence them, Marvin? Draw them away. Entangle them in defilement and sin and sorrow. How many times? And then Israel, man, they'd repeat a pattern like nobody you ever saw. They would come to their knees in oppression, in suppression, and cry out to God to save us from our enemies. But you are the one that went to them. You're the one that I saw whoring around on me under every green tree with every other god out there but me. Ooh, that's strong preaching. See, we blame the devil sometimes, but sometimes our own lust gets the best of us. We made choice to go out because a deception worked, made us think it was going to be so good. Well, good is God. And I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't got nothing good. So you're going to be able to quench every fiery dart that the enemy sends your way. Imagine that, being on a battlefield. This ain't no little tiny little baby shield, you know? It's kind of like them little statues of the baby cherubims they got. It's a joke, man. I mock the heck out of it because I've seen them, and they ain't that. Them jokers are big. Those living creatures, those cherubims, those beasts. You think God ain't got us? Man, God's got us covered, bro. I'm telling you right now. So you got that big old shield. This is a shield. If you've ever seen it, you could literally, the point of it, put it in the earth. And the whole thing covers you, Tim. The whole thing. You say, you'd have to be a pretty strong man to handle a shield like that. That's what we're talking about. Be strong in the Lord. We're talking about warriors, champions. We're talking about soldiers of God that are not afraid of devils, not afraid of the world. You say, I'm just going to stay in my house because if I go out into the world, I'll immediately get defiled. No. What if your righteousness rubs off on them? What if one of them touch you and the virtue of Jesus Christ in you leaves you and heals them? What if your gospel is the thing that converts the thing that is worked as a delusion in them? What if it restores the mind? Remember the Gadarene? The man of the Gadarenes? A legion of devils now sitting, kneeling at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Only Jesus can do that, man. And the apostles do it now because of Jesus. You guys hearing what I'm saying? So you got the shield of faith. Above all, take this shield of faith. Quench those fiery darts of the wicked. And then the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. I mean, man, this guy right here, this warrior, he's a bad dude. You think Michael's a bad dude? You know, it's always interesting to me. We read Revelation 12. But have you ever noticed that in chapter, verse 1 of chapter 12, there appeared a wonder in heaven? It immediately follows the seventh angel, the sounding of the seventh trump, and all the things that are contained therein. It wasn't until that seventh angel came that this vision appeared, this wonder appeared, this dragon appeared. It only came in the seventh time. So who was that angel? Interesting. Take that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. How many of you prayed? I've heard Danette talk about this many times. How many of you prayed one for another this week? Or did you just pray for yourself? Who prayed for someone this week? Okay. That's good. You don't want to just pray for yourself. You want to pray one for another. Pray for all the saints, Don. It should be a point now where you get up in the morning, the first thing your feet do is hit that ground, the devil gets nervous, and you're walking in prayer. You're walking in prayer from spending the whole night in prayer, doing the works of God, full of the armor of the Lord, not doubting who you are. How many's with us? Let me close. He says, for me, that utterance, he's saying, pray for me. Don't forget me. Pray for me. You pray for your pastors? How many prayed for Keith this week? I did. Did you pray for Daniel? You say, well, I don't really know what to pray. Those guys, Dan don't need prayer. Really? Well, I prayed for him this week. It might be a little different than the prayer you prayed, because we worked the Spirit together. That's a whole different thing going on behind the scenes. Why? Because we got a lot of work to do, guys. We can't get caught up in all these distractions. We just got to do the work of God, be the gift of God, do the sin to God, be obedient in all things, work faith like never before, be the gift, and do the will of God. That's how the apostles did it. That's how we're going to do it. He said, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what we referenced earlier, the mystery of the gospel. Hidden, Paul said, for ages. Hidden for ages. Why would God do such a thing? There's an appointed time, isn't there? Are we in that appointed time? Are some of you in this appointed time to come into faith, to come into a resurrection of Jesus Christ? Could you be made partaker of the first fruits? Could we even take it another step and say, you could be in the day of Pentecost receiving the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? And then beyond. He said, for which I am an ambassador. I love that word. I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that's a wrap for that. So what's the will of God here? Let's arm ourselves. Let's be strong in the Lord. Let's be strong in the Spirit of God. Let's be strong in doctrine. Let's be strong in faith. Let's be strong in discerning of spirits. Let's be strong in our testimony. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How many of you have a strong testimony? You say, well, I'm working on it. The Lord and I are working on it. Good enough. But the point is simple. Be strong. Do not let your guard down. Do not go back to bondage. Do not go back to playing church. Do not go back to opening doors that devils can slip into. You say, I don't mean to do it. Listen to me. Don't lie to me. Sometimes the heart wants what the heart wants. Well, your heart is wicked. And you need the heart of God. Only God can save you, help you, keep you, preserve you. Guys, eternity is at stake. How many wants to secure the salvation of the Lord and be partaker of the day of God? Come with us then and join us in our heaven and earth. Join us in our joy. Join us in our strength. Join us in our covering. And don't ever leave it. And you'll do well. Amen? Any questions, thoughts, anything for me before we go? You say, man, you preach so much today. What are you going to preach tomorrow night? Oh, don't worry. It's a wellspring. Tim don't know it. He's going to answer all the questions.
Okay. I just wanted to say I loved when you began to talk about that shield of faith.
Oh, you... There you go. Wow. When you talked about...
Oh, these mics.
Mics. How...
Forget it. Just talk loud, right. Megan.
How big you made it, the size of it. You began to talk to us about the size of it and how large it is. Because I was like, man, you know, when I pictured it, you think of like a... Even just like a shield like a soldier would have carried, you know, in ancient times. And I was like, no, it's not. It's huge. Like, that shield of faith is enormous.
Wouldn't it come down to how big your gospel is? How big your word is? That makes sense? It might start off a little small because you're young and you're like, oh, you ever see those movies where the men, the mighty warriors, they give the young boy a sword and he's like, look, I can't lift this. You will. Work it every day. Work it every day. Get stronger every day. One day you'll wield that sword. Isn't it kind of like that? 100%. You grow up in Christ. See that? It's kind of like this, the helmet of salvation. How big is your salvation? How big has it become? How much have you saved? How about that question? Have you saved anything in this life yet, Tim?
I believe that there have been things saved, but the consciousness of me going forth and saving it, yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But let me help you out. Have you saved a thought?
Yeah.
Have you regenerated a single thought?
Sure.
Yes, you have. Does that make sense? You see how sometimes just a little bit of questioning can get us to start like, I'm not so sure. Don't do that. Don't doubt yourself. Believe who you are, who God said you are. That's why some of us don't do the will of God. We doubt who God said we are. But do you understand how you have to grow up? So if you're a child, you know, Dan might give you a young set of armor. Remember David? He's like, I can't wear this armor. It's too big for me. Saul's armor. He's like, it's not proven. I'm not familiar. I don't know this armor. It's not my armor. Who'd he go in the power of?
The Lord.
That filthy, unclean Philistine, Goliath, said, today, the beasts of the field are going to eat your carcass. He's like, nope, they're going to eat yours. See, that's confidence, man. Don't mistake confidence in God for arrogance. That's confidence. Confidence is good. Everybody say good. It's good. So you got to grow up. Anything else? Ah, awesome.
So you have the experience to get that confidence.
He grew up in it.
He grew up in it, then he went to the lion.
He said the bear and the lion with David, right? Says he actually grabbed the lion by the beard, right? If you study all that out, it was the old man. Was God teaching David how to come up against that old man early on in his life? Why? Because he was called to be a king. See, God may not hand the keys of the kingdom over to you and say, you're now the king of this kingdom, but he'll train you up for a period of time until you're ready. And then God says, kingdom's yours. This is your kingdom. Does that make sense? If we're afraid to go to battle, you ain't going to run a kingdom. Come on, man. Anybody else? All right, guys. We love you guys. Let me say one last comment. We got you covered. You believe that? Need you to believe that. We got your back. We got you covered. The only reason that an enemy would be able to come in at this point and overtake you is if you hid from us, were rebellious and disobedient, and you went out from us and didn't come and submit to the anointing to let us help you. If you come and let us help you, we're going to help you. Amen? Amen. All right.
So are you saying that until my shield is big enough, let me stay behind yours?
It's what we've been saying. You got men of God right now that have shields that are more than sizable to handle any concerns you may have. Does that make sense? So is it possible some of you are in training? Have some faith. Have some faith. Do I expect you to have the same faith Dan has right now? No. But can you partake of his faith? Oh. How would you do that, Amanda?
Just by joining yourself to it.
Joining the vision, joining the faith, joining his word, believing it, submitting to it. Does that make sense? Man, that's good. All right, guys. God bless you guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.